Hi everyone, thanks once again for joining a new episode of the Corporate Venturing Podcast. My name is still Elise Carton and I'm still responsible for PwC Next Level, our platform that aims at creating value for and between ventures, investors and corporates. And in our previous episodes, Robin de Kock elaborated on the first part of the most recent Antwerp Management School research on corporate venturing, which was about the challenges in measuring and reporting return on innovation, but also on how to develop strong KPIs for that innovation measurement. And today, Robin will dive a bit deeper into the third chapter of the research, which is about how innovation and corporate venturing leaders should manage their relationships with the C-level people at the mothership company. Maybe Robin, for those who cherry-picked this episode without listening to the previous one, can you once again give a short introduction on yourself, please?
Hi, Elise. So my name is still Robin de Kock. I still work at the Antwerp Management School as a professor in innovation and entrepreneurship. And I'm also a guest professor at ETH Zurich. I'm the academic director of the Master in Sustainable Innovation and Entrepreneurship.
Yes, so great. Thanks again for joining us, Robin. In our corporate venturing circle, which brings together corporate venturing and open innovation leaders from different companies in Belgium, but also, speaking to clients in general, very often we see that regardless of what kind of corporate venturing, regardless of what industry, what type of company, everyone is looking for ways to establish deeper, closer, more meaningful relationships with the C-level. Why do you think it's so crucial to have those relationships between, on the one hand, the C-level of a large corporation and, on the other hand, the open innovation leaders?
So when we did the research for the report and interviewed the 18 innovation leaders, we saw this topic coming back all the time. So I think you're right, Elise, it is something top of mind of many top managers out there. And I reflected a bit on that, and we also looked into the academic research. And what we see is that innovation is, of course, something which doesn't give a lot of short-term effects, more longer-term effects. So that also means that you need to have the trust and the protection, preferably of someone from the C-level. So C-level needs to be with you. Another element and another trend that we see is that innovation. In the past, companies looked at the R&D department, and then hopefully something interesting came out of that part or corner of the organization. Nowadays, we see that innovation can come from everywhere. It can come from outside your company's boundaries, from interesting startups, entrepreneurs. It can come from employees. Every person in your organization has a piece of information that could be interesting to use for innovation. So that means that you need more like a top-down facilitation of this organization of innovation, let's say. So that requires, of course, that C-level is also with you and that your innovation team preferably is very close to the C-level. And maybe another element also is that innovation of our executives, we see from research that your CEO has the biggest impact on your culture. Okay. With his or her communication, he can show how important innovation is for the organization. If he or she repeats it every time, then you will see that this has already an impact on the innovation culture. So if the C-level is not with you, you can do a lot of bottom-up initiatives, but you might spend months of work with your colleagues and it might be fun and so on. But if after a few months C-level sees it and breaks it down, then you will be very frustrated. So you need to have C-level from day one into this innovation journey.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think I've seen it as well at companies where the corporate venturing leaders are struggling to get business units on board, to have them be open-minded for new solutions from startups and not think, oh, the company will fail in a year and then we've spent all this time. And sometimes they're willing to do innovative thinking or collaborations with startups, but it just comes on top of their job, their regular day job, which is already packed. And if they don't feel that leadership is appreciative of going that extra mile or makes room for it in their job, then there's little incentive to go for it. So
I think that's right. So the corporate venturing initiatives, especially those that also have the goal to integrate solutions into the business units, they benefit a lot from having an innovation culture. People that are open to help those startups with experimenting with their ideas and with their products in their own market. So if you don't have that, it corporate venturing becomes slightly more difficult.
So, So a top-down inspiration is important. And I think, in addition, it's also about making sure that you get enough visibility to a group of C-level people so that you're not coming and going with every economic downturn or with every C-level switch, so that it's really a robust part of the organization and not something that's hidden in the corner.
Yeah, it's embedded in the culture, in the way they work in the organization, without regardless of who's in the C-level, actually. Yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah, of course, every company is very different. You can't compare a family-owned company with a quoted company. But nonetheless, you guys made sure to identify some best practices that could fit different types of companies. The first one is secure your playing field. Yeah. What is that about?
Yeah, again, that comes back to what I said earlier, is that it's important to have your own space and maybe also time to work on these innovation initiatives, because sometimes often it takes time to build up these innovation capabilities. So you need to have some your own space and autonomy to work on that. So that's something you have to negotiate with C-level. And it's also a playing field. So that means that you have the freedom to play, to experiment with ideas without having the pressure always of a P&L.
Yeah.
With a P&L division, you need to, from most of the times, from the first time, be right and generate profit. With an innovation logic, that doesn't always work. So you need to have your own playing field here where you can experiment. And sometimes it will fail, but hopefully the time that it works out compensates for all those failures.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's something that the three-year mark in corporate venturing, those programs that make it past 3 years are way more likely to continue to exist and to continue to get buy-in from management. And so I think as a corporate venturing leader, it's important to be aware of that, to get a buy-in for those first 3 years and not promise that magic will happen in the first year.
Yeah.
And to work towards those first 3 years and ask for that time, but also make sure that after 3 years, there's something that you can present in terms of impact.
Yeah.
If you're a fund that invests, of course, you won't see all your money back after 3 years, but that there's some measurement of, okay, we made it past this three-year mark. Yeah. Thank you for allowing us the chance to do this for 3 years. This is what we've achieved so far.
And that's also a question that we asked. Okay, you say that it's important to secure your playing field, but how do you do this? Mm-hmm. And then some of the innovation leaders said, okay, it's important to make C-level familiar with the outside trends. Having the outside-in approach always works really well to make them aware what is coming our way. So that's why I need this playing field also to work on this and to develop an answer for this. So that was one thing that they said. There were a few other things that were also mentioned in the report. Educate them also a bit, but educating is maybe the wrong word. Making them familiar with all the typical entrepreneurship jargon, which C-level doesn't always know or are familiar with, is also important one, I think.
Yeah, I think I fully agree on that one. I think making sure not only the right language and narrative, but also explaining, for instance, how venture capital works, how startups work.
Yeah.
There's very often leaders in companies that see corporate venturing as a pot to control and the quickest way to acquire a company.
Mm.
Well, that can be very counterproductive for innovation.
Yeah.
And just explaining them what best practices are, what startups need to thrive, rather than only looking at it from the company perspective, is very crucial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another good tip that I remember is that somebody told me, what I do is I take more a gradual approach.
Mm-hmm.
So what I first try to do is to have some short-term wins,
yeah,
and then communicate very clearly on these short-term wins. And then when I build up some trust there, I can ask a bit more from the C-level. I can ask for a longer-term project on innovation. And that might also be a way to build it up.
Yeah, I think we see that very often. There's unfortunately, not a lot of corporate venturing leaders that get the mandate to build a strategy that's about protecting the company for disruption in the next 10 years. That's very ambitious. That's very bold. That requires a lot of efforts, requires a lot of capital and patience. So we often see that corporate venturing deliberately starts as something that is looking for cost savings or collaborating with a startup to enter into a new market, or but that there's quick wins involved, even if that's not the long-term strategy of that corporate venturing vehicle. But you need those quick wins and success stories to get your C-level people on board, but also to get the entire company on board.
Yeah. It's a bit like growing a forest, I think. So once you have the first tree, then this tree will have their leaves, and then gradually you build up an entire forest. But you have to start with this one success case, maybe, and short win, maybe, that one tree who can help you to build the forest.
Yeah, I mean, demonstrating the value of that innovation is often easier said than done. Is there anything that was said on that? How, if you have that success case, how to make sure that people know about it?
Yeah, first of all, I think there is a communication internally towards the C-level. So how do you communicate this to the C-level? Mention it in several meetings. Not only just telling how great your work is, but also showing it. That means numbers, that means taking them on a trip, those kind of things. That's the internal communication. And then you also have the external communication. And sometimes the external communication might be so positive in the reaction that it helps you to bring the story to the C-level.
Yeah.
So if a lot of positive clients or people in your environment react to your external communication on those successes in innovation, the C-level will also notice this.
Yeah.
So it will make your conversation with C-level also more interesting.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Often I see corporate venturing leaders make the mistake of trying to convince everyone in their company from the start that what they're doing is valuable.
Yeah.
Well, actually, in every company, you will have people that are more skeptical about what you're doing. You will have enthusiasts that are immediately willing to help. And instead of spending your early days in convincing those skeptical people of jumping on board, go ahead with those that are already enthusiastic and then let the success speak for itself, instead of trying to push and convince people that are not open-minded about it at that point.
Find
those ones that are excited about it and make sure you create those first successes with them.
I think you're right. Building on the coalition of the willing.
Yeah.
They sometimes call it.
I fully agree. You also give innovation leaders the tip to do their homework. What type of homework are we talking about then?
We come from Antwerp Management School. Maybe I shouldn't use the word homework all the time. But what I mean with this is that you need to do your research homework on the C-level, first of all. You need to understand who are they, what are their backgrounds, what do they want, what are their misperceptions, what are their preferences, their fears, and so on. How do they look at the company? This is crucial information if you want to report on innovation to them. If you don't know those things, it becomes a bit more difficult.
Yeah.
So if you do your homework there, it might make a difference also. A second thing where you can do your homework on is the company and the company strategy. Where do we want to go? What are our goals? And can we attach our innovation story, our innovation results, activities to the specific strategic drivers of the company? That also helps to make impact with your innovation initiatives and to get the C-level on your side. And the last thing is to also get a better idea on, we call it in the report, and that's typical for academics, they always invent new words, the freedom to innovate. You know, the freedom to operate from the IP context. You also have the freedom to innovate. So where are the areas in our environment where we think we can create new value and where there are no good solutions at this point of time? These are very interesting areas to innovate in. And that's also something that you might do your homework on so that you can also put that in your story towards C-level.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think in our corporate venturing circle, there's a mix of people that took on the role of corporate venturing leader after 10, 15, 20 years at the company.
Yeah.
There's people that were brought in specifically for doing corporate venturing.
Yeah.
I often see the best way of doing it is a combination of both, that you have someone with a deep-rooted expertise in how to do innovation, open innovation, corporate venturing, but also someone that already has the respect of both C-level, that knows the company, that can easily identify enthusiastic skepticism, but also understands that freedom to innovate.
Yeah, and what is also important, that person that is already 10, 15, 20 years in the company, the advantage of having that person is that they knows the history of the company.
Yeah.
What worked, what didn't work, why it didn't work. And of course, having the new person in, that makes sense also because disadvantages of someone who are already 15, 20 years in the same company is that they started to think the way the company thinks. And maybe for innovation, it might be good to have external people.
To have that outside-in perspective and a fresh and open mind. Yeah, I fully agree. Yeah. We were talking now about how to get C-level buy-in, to get people enthusiastic, to spread successes. It's all about communication. But how much do you think C-level should be involved in decision-making around corporate venturing? Is it just, let me do my thing for 3 years and I'll come back to you with all the successes and failures I have? Or do you think that there's also an important role for C-level to get involved in those decisions?
Yeah, I think C-level involvement is important, but the question is to what extent indeed. So I think it has some advantages. First of all, the advantages of having C-level involved is that they can follow the process. So they can see what your risks are, your obstacles were, and also maybe better understand if it failed, why did it fail? So this open communication, getting the C-level involved, creates a lot of trust and a lot of confidence also if you prove yourself. So that could be an absolute benefit. Also, when you need to have resources, it sometimes has to happen fast. If the C-level is already involved, they can also faster give those resources, open their network. Imagine the situation where they are not involved. You have to go with the entire story from day one to the C-level. It takes time to tell the entire story. If they were involved, it can happen more fast. It can happen faster. So these are the advantages. The disadvantages that we also see and also are written down in the report is that having the C-level involved puts also a bit of pressure on you. So sometimes people find this difficult to have the C-level involved. C-level tend to be more risk averse, so it can also have a negative impact on your creativity, on your experimentation, and so on. So these are the disadvantages. So I think you need to find a balance a bit in that.
Yeah, and I think it's crucial to have those processes and that decision-making crystal clear. Also towards the startups that you're working with, for yourself internally, but also towards those startups, because for startups, time is of the essence.
Yeah.
And it's something that we've also learned at Horizon, but we cannot promise startups that we can make a full collaboration decision in a month and then take a year. It's just not fair because they put resources in that collaboration, salespeople, onboarding people. So having a clear view on what is our decision process like, even if it's slower than others, mm-hmm. but just giving that transparency yeah. is crucial.
It's really important. You want to be, as a corporate, you want to be founder friendly.
Yeah.
If you want to have the best startups coming to you, you need to build up a reputation. And like you said, if they need money or if decisions have to be taken, you have to show as a corporate that you can act fast. That will be of benefit for the startup and also be of benefit for future startups considering you as a potential partner.
Yeah,
so I fully agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure if there's other topics yet you wanted to cover when it comes to involving C-level people into the equation on corporate venturing.
Maybe one thing that that I also remember from the interviews is that it's important to use the right language. And we talked earlier in the previous podcast, also one of the previous podcasts, about the difference between the management logic and the innovation logic. And sometimes they speak a different language. Like I said, management logic was focused on control, efficiency, while innovation logic is more on creativity, on experimentation. So you need to find a way in your story towards the C-level to combine those things. And there was one innovation leader who said, okay, how I try to see it and approach it is I tell a story that we need to invest in innovation to make sure that we can increase our efficiency in many of the processes that we do. So that can be high level. I can't go into detail, but this is high level how you can merge those two logics together into one story or one language. And then you're talking more the same language. So I think that was also a very good tip from that person. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I think that was quite a lot of information, lots of tips. I assume that we could go on with this conversation forever. I would also invite the listeners to take part in that conversation.
For sure.
Both Robin and myself would be very happy to hear from you guys, what your experiences are. Thanks a lot, Robin,
for
sharing your insights. For those that are curious about the report, you can find it on the Antwerp Management School website. You can find it on the PwC Corporate Venturing website. You can reach out to both Robin and myself on LinkedIn, and we'll send it to you. Soon I'll be back with more episodes on corporate venturing. Thanks a lot, Robin, for joining.
You're welcome.
And thanks a lot for those listening.